So, hi everyone. My name is Marlène Etzu. This is my colleague Christian Drouin. So today we're going to share with you our study project, which was about nurses and respiratory therapists' perception of change in suctioning practices in the NICU. So we're going to start up with a little introduction about our study. We're going to go over our methods, and we're going to go over our resolve, so giving some information about our sample characteristic. We're going to go more in-depth about our findings, and we're going to end up with a little discussion about implication for practice.
Okay. So the neonatal intensive care unit is a highly acute and fast-paced environment, so that can make it challenging to introduce changes in practice. So in the NICU of the Jewish General Hospital, the current suctioning practice for neonates required a practice change. And the change involved suctioning only when clinically indicated rather than every 4 hours. And stopping the use of normal saline instillation when suctioning. So both of these changes are supported by the literature. And the current study was implemented to understand what were the factors that were operating in the setting to either facilitate or impede the practice change. So we used three concepts of the parish framework, evidence, context, and facilitation, as a guideline for our analysis. This framework considers these elements as major factors influencing the practice implementation. We're not going to discuss the framework in details, but if you have questions regarding that, we can answer to your question at the end of the presentation.
So therefore, to have a great appreciation of those barriers and facilitator operating within the NICU setting, the purpose of our study was to explore nurses and RTs' perception of the barriers and facilitator to a change of practice in the endotracheal suctioning of neonates in the NICU.
So in our methodology, it was a qualitative descriptive design that was used. Data were collected via two focus groups, and a third focus group was done to validate the data with the previous focus groups. So we included nurses and RTs who had received the educational session on the suctioning. We excluded those who had not received the educational session or who had already participated in a focus group. Nurses, managers, CNS, and educators were excluded to make sure that the staff would speak freely. We ensured that there were both nurses and RTs in each focus groups, and thematic content analysis was used, as well as concept mapping to analyze our data. This table summarizes the demographic data characteristic of our sample. 8 nurses and 3 RTs participated, of which 7 were females and 4 were males. The average age was 32 years old. 5 participants were junior staff with less than 4 years of experience. 2 staff members had moderate work experience between 5 and 9 years. The 4 remaining were senior staff with more than 10 years of experience. Most of the individuals were already were working full-time on the unit, and regarding the level of education, 5 participants were college educated and the rest had a university degree. Okay, so this is our model that summarizes the barriers and facilitators that influenced the new practice change. The categories in green represents what the staff perceived as facilitators, and yellow are the categories that could hinder or facilitate the implementation of the new practice, and in green were the perceived barrier, and red are the perceived barrier. So these categories were grouped into 3 teams: individual characteristic, which includes the knowledge and competences of the staff, the contextual teams that had to do with the characteristic of the setting or work routine, such as disturbing the baby and the unit culture. The third team, leadership, included facilitation and feedback performance and was important to the sustainability of the change. So today we'll focus on the themes that were the most dominant, namely the knowledge, unit culture, and the leadership. So however, if you have questions, we would be happy to answer. If you have questions regarding the other themes, we would be happy to answer them at the end of the presentation. So nurses and RT sources of knowledge influence their suctioning practice and the proposed change. So tacit knowledge is one knowledge source and has to do with the experiential and intuitive knowledge that people developed over time. So this practice change consisted of two components, the assessment-based suctioning and the stopping of the use of instillation. And most nurses and RT were already performing assessment-based suctioning, and this facilitated the change. However, the use of instillation was deep-rooted in the practice of the staff, and many believed that it helped to mobilize the secretion. Therefore, stopping instillation was creating a feeling of uncertainty among the staff, which acted as a barrier to the proposed change. Formal education was the second source of knowledge, and it is the knowledge acquired through schooling, university, and professional training. So it was perceived as a facilitator because it was consistent with the change being implemented on the NICU. Empirical knowledge had to do, this had to do with the evidence base and the best practice guidelines. So following the in-service, participants acknowledged that research and the assessment-based suctioning and not instillating saline were the best practice. So however, few participants referred to research literature when discussing what was influencing their practice. So it appeared that nurses and RT were using tacit knowledge and educational knowledge to inform their practice. Empirical knowledge was not a source that they were using regularly.
Okay, so looking at our second theme, unit culture, which referred to the collective beliefs and values of individual on the NICU. So when asked about the perception of the change, most participants say that it was positive as well as a step in the right direction. And some RT mentioned as well that it was easier to reconcile since the change of practice was consistent with other setting. Looking at teamwork ability, which referred to any behavior that facilitate effective member interaction. So most participants said that their relationship as well as their communication was good and already established among them. And we found out as well that the practice change helped to promote a collaborative approach where participants turned to their colleagues for assistance if they had any question regarding the new protocol. So now looking at diversity of individuals. So we have to know that on this specific unit, there were about 100 nurses and 50 RTs. So this is understandable that we can see a great diversity of individuals. And this diversity in red was seen as a barrier to the change of practice. So when nurses mentioned we all have different opinions sometimes and we approach differently, so I think a lot of people have their own way of thinking. Probably a few will still kind of implement the older technique. So this diversity was more apparent in the reluctance of stopping the use of normal saline. And some other nurses mentioned that it may be a little bit more challenging to implement a change of practice among older nurses since the practice were more embedded in their practice. RTs and nurses mentioned as well that they were experiencing some peer pressure from other staff member. One nurses mentioned the kind of bullying, oh, you didn't suction, now I have to suction, probably like, I don't know what's going to happen on my shift because of you, you didn't do your job. So participant mentioned that some staff member purposely make negative comments or use nonverbal behavior to intimidate the others, which was viewed as impeding the change of practice. So now looking at our last theme, leadership, with was identified as an important role to help clinicians to make sense of the evidence being implemented. So participants spoke about facilitation as any action taken by nursing leader to help NICU staff to implement the change of practice, and they often mentioned that reinforcing the change would reduce resistance. So they gave us some strategies to use in order to help to individual to uptake the change, such as giving some evidence-based practice about the change, doing more in-services, doing theory days, which will help an individual to change their practice. And they spoke as well about the importance of having feedback performance regarding the practice change in order to maintain and sustain their practice. So they expressed the need for statistics to show how the unit was performing and as well to compare themselves with other settings about the change. So, overall, participants convey a sense of optimism about the change, but they were aware of the challenges. So, specifically about knowledge, participants drew on their formal knowledge and clinical expertise rather than empirical sources to guide their response to the change. So, really, in our study, formal knowledge was seen as a facilitator since it was consistent with what they have learned in nursing school. However, the literature argue that this knowledge is not usually sufficient in practice, and nurses do not regularly use formal knowledge, but turn to informal or experiential sources. So in our study, which we call tacit knowledge from experiential sources, was seen as a barrier. So when empirical evidence calls for a change of practice, the relationship between tacit knowledge and empirical evidence can create a tension. So, for example, in our study, tacit knowledge provide nurses and RT anecdotal evidence that seems to compel them to continue the old practice, even though the empirical evidence call for a change of practice. And again, nurses and RT identify leadership as important to initiate and sustain the change of practice. So, leadership has been identified as a critical key to help clinicians to make sense of the evidence being implemented and as well to understand the culture where the change is taking place. So in our study, nurses and RT gave a good example of how the unit culture can either help or hinder the practice change. So they spoke about the presence of peer pressure or the great diversity of individuals in the NICU, both seen as a barrier to the change of practice. So in this case, leadership can help reduce the barriers by teaching and coaching individuals to change their attitudes, beliefs, and way of working regarding the new practice, and as well to work towards evidence-based practice acculturation on the unit.
Okay. So if Mary and I were to implement a change of practice in the NICU, what we would do is to assess and anticipate the barriers to the proposed change. Obtain feedback from the staff about what is helpful during the implementation. Address the contradiction that are perceived by the staff. Make sure to provide enough support. Be sensitive to potential tension between knowledge and tacit knowledge, especially between these two sources of knowledge. Understand the type of culture that predominates on the unit. And maybe consider ABP enculturation beforehand to make the future change easier. So thank you. We would like to thank our supervisor and advisors on this study, Lynn Charbonneau, who is a CNS at the NICU of the Jewish General Hospital, Dr. Margaret Purden, who is associate professor at McGill and scientific director for the Center of Research of Nursing Research at the Jewish General Hospital. In addition, we would like to thank the NICU staff for their support for this project. Yes.
Was there any kind of conflict on the unit, and was there any way that they kind of...
So the strategy that they use, kind of?
Sorry?
The strategies that they use to...
Just to repeat the question.
Okay, so the question was if NICU staff has any, or kind of provide us any strategies that they can use if they see peer pressure or diversity of culture, if they were faced with that. So actually, they didn't give us any really specific strategies. Mm-hmm. They really only kind of acknowledge that they were, or they can felt or seen some peer pressure. But no, that's a good thing, but no, they didn't.
So I guess an interesting thing would be to give tools to these nurses, you know, about how to behave and what to do when they see that, that and like that the change is not being implemented by some nurses. I guess that would be something to address to make the change easier.
And as well, like, we didn't talk about it because we didn't have time, but one of our category was being credible. And that was a good point in terms of when they are not sure about what they are doing, or if someone is making them not really comfortable of what they are doing, they say, like, to reassure themselves, they say, no, I'm sure what I'm doing. I know that I did the good job. I know that I suctioned at the right time based on the assessment. So that was maybe kind of linked to that a little bit.
So in this regard, it was like more them how to justify their action.
Yeah.
So they mentioned things that, you know, they wanted to have like specific assessment criteria to mention and to provide to that colleague that would kind of interfere with their practice change. So that's it.
Thank you so much. You mentioned that we were allowed to ask a question about the framework.
The Parish framework, yeah. That's right, yes.
Can you explain to us how you use the framework in doing your data analysis and which kind of what were the components that you used in your own study?
Yes, so the question is how did we use the Parish framework to analyze our results? So the Parish framework, as mentioned, is something that considers context, evidence, and facilitation as three major part that are influencing the change or the implementation of new practice on any given unit setting. So what we used it as a tool. So we did our data analysis, developed our categories and teams, and then
at the beginning, we used the Parish framework really just to guide our question guideline.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we started the analysis, we started to put our data within the framework. And then we realized that it was too complicated to do that because our data was not directly linked with the three main element.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to put on the side the Parish framework and did our own analysis. So that's why we came up with our model. And so we didn't really touch on the Parish framework and to explain the difference. And it's kind of...
There are some differences, and we would probably add some things to that framework that were not...
So maybe you can develop an adapted version.
Exactly, yeah.
That's your version?
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks.